Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
I want to share this question from one of our very, 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 very good friends of That Podcast who were to protect his anonymity or her. No, we're going to say his. It's his.
Yeah.
We're going to refer to this gentleman as DW.
DW. Okay.
DW. And DW asked me this question, which while I understood what he was asking, he and I have already had quite a conversation about it. And he said, I'd love to hear more about this from all those rascals on That Podcast.
Rascals.
And I assume he meant you guys.
Sure.
For sure, Ryan.
Yeah, he meant Ryan. Yeah. I don't speak on this podcast, so.
Rascals.
And Dana's like, and I'm out.
Do I get to be alfalfa?
Now you're more of a spanky.
I don't have enough hair back here to be alfalfa.
We have to get Ryan little extension.
Just a single clip in.
Well, and you know what? I want to ask this question to you guys because I often wonder what people think about this stuff. Because
I probably haven't thought about it ever.
Well, fair enough. You know how like in the Bible you have all these prophets, right? What do you guys think about prophecy, and does prophecy still happen today? And if prophecy was happening today, how would you know that it's prophecy?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a hard one.
Tell me about it.
You know,
so are we talking like Simpsons level prophecy of like?
Well, we went two different directions because you said Simpsons, and I thought, you know, there are a lot of people who say that they're prophets and prophecies, and you know what they call those? Cults.
Yeah.
And those are scary.
And so how do you know that the person talking is truly a prophet of the Lord and not just like some con artist?
I feel like there's got to be some level of trust. I don't know if I'd ever describe, like, I don't know if I would ever describe a single person as like that person right there. Yep, prophet.
I also feel like if they're saying that about themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Red flag. If someone says they're a prophet.
Yeah, that's a no.
Okay.
That's like a prophet, stay away from the
wrong.
You don't get to call yourself a prophet.
After the prophet comes, and you want to see this basement, we've got a nice punch bowl. Feel free to help yourself.
Yeah. If they ask you to move and give away all your things.
Red flag.
That's also a no.
That there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. So, but when did that, okay, I've got thoughts too, but when did that change? Because back in biblical times, they were identified as prophets.
Right. But what identified them as prophets?
Well, I would say you'd have to make sure that what they're saying is jiving with what's in the Bible.
Okay. So here's the question. Go ahead.
No.
Well, because that's valid. I mean, that's a way that you can test whether or not someone is a prophet. Is what they're saying in line with the Bible?
Yeah.
But now, was everything that they said always in line with the Bible?
Well, and I think that's hard, like, based off what Ryan asked, is like, at that time, they only had the Old Testament side of things. So
right.
How do you get it all?
Well, okay. And so DW gave me this example, and it's from, it's Peter's vision. Okay. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 9. It says, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. For those of you wondering, sixth hour to pray is noon. Okay. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat because it was noon.
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
Even back then.
But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, low blood sugar, and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. You guys ever had an alligator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. No. I've had it, but I had it prepared by people who were tailgating at NDSU, so I don't really think that they knew how to prepare it properly.
I see.
It was like tough chicken.
I had it in Nollins,
New Orleans. Oh, you had...
See, yeah. I was that's a little like farther so south, but not that good.
I imagine that's like the difference of like eating canned tuna versus fresh from the ocean.
New Orleans is the only place where I have eaten until I was full and just said, keep bringing it. Mm-hmm. Keep bringing it. I gained about 10 pounds.
Atlanta's the only place where I kept eating, and I was like, I might actually puke all of this back up, but I don't care.
It's worth it.
Well, so it says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, why is that? Why has he never eaten anything that's common or unclean?
Because that was in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible. Sure. Mm-hmm. To the food that God says, don't eat this, right? It's in the book, as Pastor Cross would say.
That was when they were supposed to separate themselves.
Yes. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now,
yeah,
was that a real prophecy to Peter, and how would he know? And so, how would the rest of us know?
So I wish I would have marked this down, because last time, I'm doing my read through again.
Yep.
And I came to a spot prior to when God said, you don't eat anything unclean.
Yeah.
Where he said, this is all for you. Yeah. To have what you want.
Yes.
So how would he know before everything was set apart, they were allowed to eat all that stuff.
Right.
So my guess is, this is only a guess, that at this time, Christ was already here. Christ died. Christ was risen. And all of the old was done away with.
I agree with everything that you just said. And I think that that's a very valid way for us to look and see. But the other question, though, is then, but how do we know that this was God's intention? Now, if you're saying because Jesus said, that's totally valid.
Mm-hmm.
But is there another measure aside from Jesus said? Because as Christians, we should always look at the scriptures. For them, it was the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Jesus, then we can see scripture as it's meant to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember, after Jesus is risen, that's the big event that kind of changes things.
Yeah.
Because he's risen, you should probably listen to him. And there's this little detail where it says that for 40 days, he taught his disciples about the scriptures and how they're all about him.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the Old Testament, whereas, you know, this is the mistake of historic criticism, because it doesn't take the word for what it says. It thinks, well, the New Testament is basically a commentary on the Old Testament, and it's the same people, but they're talking about very different things. So in the Old Testament, when it talks about, when Isaiah speaks to Ahaz and says, you know, ask the Lord for a sign, and Ahaz is like, far be it from me, Lord. And Isaiah said, well, God's going to give you a sign anyway. A virgin shall give birth, and you shall call him Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a context for a different time, and they had no idea that that's talking about Jesus, da 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 da. That's what historic criticism does. The way to read scripture from a Lutheran perspective is the way Martin Luther spoke about it. It's called scriptura sacra sui ipsius interpretis. That's it. Scripture interprets scripture. And because we're Christians, we take the New Testament, and the New Testament allows us to understand the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus, okay? But even without the lens of Jesus, because this question is going to come up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because after this, there's a group of Pharisees that come and say, if you're going to be a Gentile believer in Jesus, you need to become Jewish first.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you need to be circumcised if you're men, and you need to keep the dietary laws, and you need to follow the laws of Moses. Why did we not go that way as Christians? They believed in Jesus.
Right, because it's what is in your heart, not what is in your... It's what comes out of you, not what goes into you.
And those were... directly the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in there, in the Gospels, it even says, at this point, Jesus made all foods clean, right? However, in the early church, there was still this debate, and they were debating, the Pharisees were arguing from Scripture that it says right here, don't eat this food.
Yeah.
Here's where context becomes incredibly important, because Acts will answer this question itself. Because not only do you have Peter getting a vision from God, and beginning of Acts, it says that this is this is the day of the Lord when your young men will have visions and your old men will dream dreams. And all men and women will prophesy, which means to proclaim the things of God. They end up having this meeting. Are you okay? Mm-hmm.
Did you just get scared?
Yes. Eli just walked down the hall in a very dark hallway.
That
window will get you.
And he's dressed dark and his hair is...
Yeah, he's wearing a black hoodie.
He's like Cousin It with his hair.
We're talking about prophecies.
And I've just been like staring out that window thinking about that of like, what if someone just like came out of the fireside room right now just straight at me? But, you know.
Well, they're going to kill me first.
Yeah, Anna. I know. That's what I've been thinking about.
You don't need to outrun them. You just need to outrun me.
Anywho.
Yeah. So there's this argument going on. And so they end up having this thing called the First Ecumenical Council of Jerusalem. And Antioch, where Christians are first called Christians, Paul and Barnabas come there and they're telling about what the Holy Spirit has been doing, what God is doing that they can actually experience and see, kind of like FMSC. We can tell stories of God doing things. They saw that Gentiles were receiving the Holy Spirit and believing in Jesus without keeping the law. Mm-hmm. And so you had that voice. And then you had the Pharisees that believed in Jesus saying, but wait, Scripture says this. And then you had Peter giving his entire vision about Peter, about Cornelius and the Gentiles and the vision that he said to come and eat the stuff, right? And all of that is important. The one who was overseeing the council of all of the Christians, because this was the original conflict in the church, is what is God's will? Do we keep what the Old Testament says concerning dietary food and so on, or is the new covenant in Jesus something greater than the old covenant that was meant to be set apart to be God's people? This is what they ended up saying. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul, and they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Okay, so they have the witness of Paul and Barnabas, two guys saying God's doing a new thing through the Holy Spirit. After they finished speaking, James replied. Okay, so now James is like the church council president, and this is what he says. Now I want you to listen closely. What made them decide that we don't have to keep the kosher law? He says, listen to me. Simon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Basically, he said, Peter said this. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who made these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who practice him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. What was the final judge to determine that the kosher laws did not have to be kept according to James? Did you hear what he justified it by? Did he justify it based on Peter's testimony or on Paul and Barnabas's testimony? Or on the testimony of the Pharisees? What was the final judgment to say what you see the Holy Spirit doing is valid and real? That it's prophecy coming about. Did you catch it?
Was it the Pharisees because it's become like an idol?
Sort of. But there's
tell you something? No, because I was thinking about something else.
Okay. As you were reading. You got lost. All right.
So
it's been a long day for Dan.
All I could think of was the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, it's loving God and loving people, including yourself.
Right.
And so when it talks about the idols, that's the commandment, you shall have no other gods.
But what did he go to? He didn't go to the Ten Commandments.
No.
What did he go to?
I'd have to read it.
Yeah. Where are we at? I don't want to see this in front of me.
Yeah, there you go.
Simon, this is Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 12.
Acts 15, verse 12?
Yep.
Should I read it again so we're not just sitting
yeah,
in silence?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Now that it's in front of me and everybody can read along.
Yeah, join us, all of you. Just pause the podcast for a minute.
Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them.
Wait. What version are you reading?
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's all kinds of words in yours. It's not mine. I'm just kidding.
Oh, it is King James.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, the authorized version. We can go there.
Hoity-toity.
I must have been looking up what a word in King James. Okay.
Okay.
And all the assembly fell silent, and they listen. This is the ESV.
Yes.
For those of you following along. So go back to your bookshelf. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles.
Now, stop for a minute. So they're listening to the testimony, which, what is a testimony? A testimony is the same thing as a witness. And in the New Testament, in the early church, remember, your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions, and your men and your women will prophesy. Prophesy does not mean telling what the future holds. It's speaking God's word right now in the moment. But it also,
what prophecy literally means.
That's what it literally means.
Oh. See, I think that's where it gets lost in translation now.
The narrow view of prophecy is fortune telling, that it's forecasting the future. But the biblical understanding of prophecy is this person speaks for the Lord. The office of prophet ends up becoming connected with the office of elder and overseer or bishop. The episkopos and the presbyteros, those are the Greek words, they both become the office of pastor. Okay? Moving forward. There's two offices of ministry in the Bible. It's pastor and deacon.
Okay?
Okay. But the prophet is someone who speaks God's will right now in this place. And in the beginning of Acts, on Pentecost, that's the promise that the coming of the Holy Spirit brings, is that prophecy continues, but it's not what you may think it is.
Okay.
So they've heard the prophecy or the testimony of Paul and Barnabas and Peter talking about the Gentiles.
Okay.
What validates it to show that this is indeed a prophecy of the Lord and not just coming from the devil, or that Paul is crazy, or that Peter is crazy? Okay?
Okay.
Keep reading.
After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name."
Okay, so he's saying, this is what Peter just told us. And he's in the role of kind of the leader of the council. Okay, this is James, the brother of our Lord. He's the one who wrote the letter of James in the Bible. Okay, that's this guy.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He says, listen to me. Peter has just related something new that God has taken that God first has now visited the Gentiles, just as he did us with the Holy Spirit, to take from them a people for his name, for the name of Jesus. That's the context. That's what James is talking about. Mm-hmm. That God is not far off. And we're waiting for him to come. He's come in Jesus. He died. He's risen. He's ascended. And now the Holy Spirit is expanding that message, expanding the kingdom of God. And here's the funny thing. According to Peter, he's including the Gentiles. We all thought it was just for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He's included the Gentiles. How does he know? Listen to what James says. Go ahead. Next line.
And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written.
Now stop. Where was it said that he could verify that this isn't coming from the devil, but it's actually coming from God? Where does he go? Who agrees with what Peter is saying?
The prophets.
And who are the prophets? Think about their context. What is the holy scripture that they have? They don't have the New Testament.
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. The prophets are all of them. Usually they'd say law and the prophets, but the prophets refer to Moses in the first five books. It refers to David in the Psalms. It refers to all of the prophet letters and books that we have. Basically, he's saying, and all of the Old Testament agrees.
Okay.
So how do you know that something is a prophecy from the Lord in our day and age?
Go to the Bible.
It's got to be in agreement with what Scripture says. And then he quotes one verse that for them just seemed plain as day. But then he goes on and he says, now, here's what we're going to ask you to do. You don't have to get circumcised and you don't have to keep the kosher laws. You want to have bacon? Have bacon. Right? It's not an issue about being Jewish. It would be like saying that, you know, to be saved, you got to be really Norwegian. And part of being Norwegian is you have to eat lutefisk and lefse.
I don't want to be saved.
Right? I don't know if I want to do that.
I'm not half and half.
Well, and that's the issue that people had. If I'm a, why do I want to be circumcised if I'm a, you know, 30-year-old man?
Right.
That's not going to be comfy.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, knockout juice. Yeah, right? I don't know, you know? So
he says, as long as they, you know.
So he says,
idols, all of that.
The law with the resurrection of Jesus is put in its proper place. It's no longer a ladder to get into heaven. It's a boundary to protect life. Right?
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, you have things like ritual laws and dietary codes. These were all given to a specific people at a specific time for the purpose of knowing how to live in the presence of the holy being known as the Almighty God. This was Israel. And in the scriptures themselves, those laws have an expiration date.
Right.
587 BC. The mistake after they came back from exile is to think if we just really try hard at keeping the law, then God will be on our side again. But the prophet Jeremiah said at the exile, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. I will write my word on their hearts and they will know me, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That covenant is not like the old covenant of the law. The old covenant of the law had to do with obedience. The new covenant has to do with forgiveness. And so Jesus establishes the new covenant, which is about forgiveness. And that now puts the law, the ritual law and the dietary law have expired because no longer are they the sign to set apart. The moral law is still there. You shall not murder, honor your father and your mother. Why? Because these are God's expectations for how we're to live. And they can be understood in different ways. What went away was the ritual law, the dietary law, and the legal, like, state law of the kingdom of Israel. But what remains are those things that are good and right for building up and for protecting life, right? Just because I follow Jesus doesn't mean that I can now dishonor my parents.
Right.
Rather, I want to honor them because of Jesus. Just because because I believe in Jesus does not now give me the permission to murder people. Because that's not God's intention for life. You see how that how that works?
Yeah.
So what are the limits that he puts on? He says, but write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols. Why? Why would he say to do that?
First commandment.
The issue is the moral law and how keeping the moral law allows you to preach the gospel rather than harm the preaching of the gospel. The witness of the gospel is now everything because it points to Jesus. And if you're eating food sacrificed to idols, someone who doesn't know Jesus is going to get the wrong impression and think, oh, you're worshiping Artemis or Apollo, the sun god, because you're enjoying their festival. You know, you're judged by your friends.
Yeah.
That was the issue at hand. So don't eat this stuff because you're playing with bad juju.
Yeah.
Okay?
Don't mess with the shadow man.
Exactly. And stay away from sexual immorality. For the same reason. It has to do with who you are as a child of God, that we live in such a way that everything that we're called to do is about promoting and building up and protecting life rather than taking away from life. and from what has been strangled and from blood. All of these things are also tied to the Noahic covenant as well,
mm-hmm.
Where Noah says, you know, keep these rules, which is interesting because in rabbinical Judaism today, they understand too that being Jewish is a status of being special and set apart, but that all of us Gentiles, if we keep the Noahic law, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like seven of them as compared to the 216 that you have to keep if you're Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. All of it though, what they're saying is this is for the sake of the gospel that we ask you to do these things, not that they have to do with your justification before God. You're saved by faith. And where do they get that proof? Well, it's what the Old Testament says.
Mm-hmm.
So today, if anyone says, well, God's doing a new thing, or the Lord's put it on my heart that come and drink this Kool-Aid, measure everything according to what Scripture says.
And there's no mention of Kool-Aid.
And there's no mention of Kool-Aid.
Or Flavor-Aid.
Or there you go. Or that someone is going to be like the physical incarnation mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit, which is usually where cults go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll say that I'm the second coming of Jesus. Well, it says he'll come again the way that he left
yep.
in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you go. If you want to know about prophecy today, always measure it according to the bar, which is Holy Scripture itself, which means you need to be in the Word of God and know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to say, that's interesting, where does it say that in the Bible? That's always a great question to ask anyone. That's interesting, where does it say it in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
People that I know that are in cults don't often want to go to the Bible. They want to go to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know people in cults?
Of course I do. You probably do too. More than there's
they're
more than you know.
MLMs. You might have to cut that part.
So anyway, good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Also, can I tell you what I got distracted by? Why is it that like Paul and James are like really popular names? What happened to Barnabas? Why isn't that name everywhere?
It might come around again.
We can bring it back.
This is my own just thought of this too. I want a version of the Bible where somebody adds last names. They don't need to be legit ones. It can be Paul Smith.
It's in the book.
His name's Simon Johnson.
Johnson.
And Jesus gave him a new nickname. He's Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Well, I want that version because sometimes, especially in that Old Testament, you're like, wait a minute. We've got Paul talking to Paul talking to Paul. What?
Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got two last names.
My name is DJ from Lura. Mary's name is Mary from Magdala. It's the same thing.
I need more last
there
names.
There needs to be like, a glossary breakdown of like, okay, this character is this.
Yeah.
Shows up in all of these chapters.
I need an index.
You know what she needs?
What's that?
You know what they need?
What's that?
A Thompson chain.
I don't want one.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah,
is that the goat skin?
No, it's the big one that Paul.
What are you talking about?
Paul has a Bible, Ryan does too.
No. I don't have a goat skin.
You don't have a goat skin? But what Bible do you have? That's
the Thompson.
It is the same thing. His is just nicer. It has like a leather cover.
Mine's a Thompson chain reference Bible.
Oh,
so you can find a word, and it'll show you every spot in the Bible
that word.
I'm gonna let my millennial show really quick. Is that a version of my Bible app?
Apparently it's a very complicated thing to use.
I will tell you that the Google machine is very good at this too.
Okay.
But the Thompson chain reference gives you context.
Oh, okay.
So it makes more sense as to why it's picking the ones that that's
putting
into.
Because I can do that whole thing of like, click here and then I'll show and you.
Remind me next time and I'll bring it.
Okay.
We don't have any laying around here, do we?
I got one in my office.
Okay.
But I don't think we have any extras laying around.
Okay.
Yeah, they're precious.
But yeah.
Okay.
No.
They're good.
I don't like physical paper.
Yeah.
The reason why names like James and John and Paul became so popular is because of the spread
Beatles?
Of...
Beatles?
No, they were one...
Yes.
One syllable.
The spread of Christianity, these were common names. Barnabas actually was not a very common name, strangely enough. What I'm surprised is names like, you know, that were common names then... didn't stick around like Ananias.
Or Dorcas.
Or Dorcas.
No, that's good. Name. I got stuck called around that a lot just in a different context.
I don't think they meant it the same way.
I don't think so either. No.
Full circle. Middle schoolers are mean.
Yeah. And we're out.
Yep.
Just to get back to there.
Yep.
All right. Is that good enough?
I think so.
Good. All right. Maybe we should just call this one and we'll.
Okay.
And we'll go.
All right.
Do we need to do any prayers out or anything like that for these episodes?
Well, I'd like to pray. So I'll pray.
Craig prayed for the last
one. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I get to pray for this one. Dear God, I thank you for my friends here, and I thank you for wonderful questions from the folks who are listening. We give you thanks for our brother DW, and pray, Lord, that when we have questions about, you know, whether you are speaking to us today or speaking through someone's voice or measuring anything that we hear about you, may we remember that you have given us your word, your full revelation in the Holy Scriptures, and that we can turn to them and be able to measure the words of any person as to what they're saying, whether what they're saying about you is true and whether it's a word for us from you. And so, Lord, bless everyone who's heard your word and has been blessed by this conversation today, that they may know that they are loved, that Jesus loves them, and that He has a place for them in his kingdom through faith in him. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Good.
Good.
All right.
Thanks for joining us for that podcast. Don't forget, you can find all of our services online every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for a tradition service or 10:30 a.m. for a modern service. You'll find them at atonement.live, atonementfargo.org, or on YouTube, where you can also find all of our library of content. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on another riveting episode of That Podcast.